We're beginning a new series as we head towards Thanksgiving about how do we get better at giving thanks, at living a life of gratitude. So I want you to think as we get going about the last time you felt gratitude. So just take a moment. When's the last time you experienced feeling grateful? Maybe it was 10 minutes ago or 10 months ago. But call to mind what it was that caused you to experience something like thankfulness. I wonder if a few of you would be bold enough just to share what it was that made you thankful. Ed. To be welcomed back into the church after an 18-year absence. Wonderful, that's pretty cool. 19, no way. 18, you're good. Welcome back, Ed. What else? Good health. Elizabeth said, made it through heart surgery and feel good. Yes. To be blessed by God and the words about water. Wonderful, wonderful. Somebody back here. To have a few minutes with a friend after Sunday school. Mert. So I'll translate these because I know you can't all hear. Mert said, even though we experience things that are unjust, we also get to experience people coming to help in those difficult situations. Leah says, my dad's sense of humor. He made her laugh yesterday. Very good. Very good. Anything else? Jill? Realizing that you have very good friends. I know the balcony's not thankful for anything. I'm not even gonna ask. Oh, wow. Wow. At least when I throw it to you, you can say something honestly. A good Lord. Never again. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Moving on. So from now through November, which is the actual Thanksgiving holiday that we celebrate, we'll be working at becoming more grateful. And during this time, we're going to be sharing ideas and tools and resources so that we can get better at it, get better at practicing Thanksgiving in our daily lives. So to help us along this path, in the sermons, you'll hear a lot of quotations from a book by Diana Butler Bass. The book is entitled Grateful, the Transformative Power of Giving Thanks. So if you think it would be helpful for you on the side to read along, great. Order that book by Diana Butler Bass. There's a discussion group that meets in the library at 9:30 that's talking about that book. You can join that as well. But here's a taste of what you can expect from the next several weeks. This comes from the book's preface. Quote, great, and this is in your bulletin on the final page of your bulletin, you can find some of these quotations. Gratefulness is not a magic fix, but it just might be the bright star directing us to a new and better place. This is an invitation to become aware of gratitude in new ways, with the hope that if we see more clearly what's at stake, we might together nurture, encourage, and practice the sort of gratefulness. Now hear this, this is a big hope. That we might practice the sort of gratefulness that can change our hearts and our communities. When the Apostle Paul counsels us, and this is in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, when he counsels us to, quote, give thanks in all circumstances. Now imagine the breadth of that, the difficulty of that. to give thanks in all circumstances. When he says that, I think he does so because he knows that practicing thanksgiving can change our lives. It's not just a regimen or a routine or a duty that you add to your life that basically is going to stay the same. That's not the idea. Over the next several weeks, we'll explore together whether cultivating practices of thankfulness really can change both our own hearts and the culture, the tone, the attitude of our wider communities. Wouldn't that be great? Butler Bass begins her book with an observation. I think she's on to something, but you'll have to make your own judgment about this. There was a survey examining American religion and spirituality. It included this question, quote, how often do you feel a strong sense of gratitude or thankfulness? Once a week, once or twice a month, several times a year, seldom or never. Okay? That was the poll question. How often do you feel a strong sense of gratitude or thankfulness? Now, I don't know whether this will surprise you or not, but a whopping 78% of Americans responded to that polling question by saying that they had felt strongly grateful in the past week. 78%. Now, Butler Bass in her own book is surprised. She admits that she's surprised that the number was that high. That's a huge majority of Americans, right, who said during the last week they've been overwhelmed with a sense of thankfulness. Now, what if you haven't had an overwhelming sense of gratefulness in the past week? Does that put you in the ungrateful 20%? Well, I don't know. Forget about the numbers and the polling for just a minute and just ask yourself, when you look around and survey others, your family, your friends, your neighbors, fellow Americans, do they seem to you deeply grateful? No right answer to this. I'm a pastor, and so that gives me an excuse to have good, deep, meaningful conversations with people. It's one of the things I love about my job. I can chit-chat, I can make small talk, but, you know, usually when people come see me, they want to talk about something that matters, and I love that. And I find that most people can frequently name things for which they're grateful, and they do. They really do. And yet, it seems like these gratitude moments that all of us have, all of us share, are more often than not sort of the minor key of our lives. It seems like our impulses towards giving thanks often get crowded out by other stuff like stress, frustration, anger, worry, jealousy, competitiveness, complaints about this or that. So it's not that we're not grateful. It's that we've got so much else going on that it often gets diminished. About a week after that survey, that poll I already told you about with the questions about gratitude, there was another public study on American attitudes, and that was right as we headed into the 2016 presidential election year. Here from Butler Bass again, quote, that study discovered that Americans were more anxious, less optimistic, and more distrustful than ever. And in the past couple of years, since that poll, it would be hard for us to deny that we have experienced in our public life something of that, the divisions, the difficulty. Here I'll quote from Butler Bass again, quote, a surge of rage revealing a toxic level of anger, fear, division, and intolerance, end quote. I think we all know that this is what we're experiencing, and I think it'd be good for us to say that none of us this morning get to point the finger at someone else. All of us have to admit that we have been pulled in to some extent into some of this negativity, and yet we all know that none of us want to stay there. None of us want to camp out there. We want something more, we want something better, we want to move forward, we want to move past that. I don't think that we all need any big argument this morning or any polling data that there's a significant level of distrust and ill will between people who often see themselves as opponents, whether they are or not. And that situation raises some questions for us about how deeply we are being shaped by gratitude. I don't think it means that as divided Americans, I don't think it means that we're ungrateful. But it might suggest that gratitude is not currently the governing value of our lives. It's not the shaping influence that's giving us direction, that's charting our way forward. And I don't know about you, but just to speak personally, I really do want to live the kind of life where my practices of gratefulness, my sense of deep thanksgiving for the many, many gifts of God and the good things in my life, where that is more visible, more near the surface than anything else about me. So I think this is a tension, a knot, a conundrum. Lots of people say they feel deeply grateful, yet difficult to see. So this is what we're working at over the next several weeks. We'll be circling around this challenge. Why is there such a gap between our personal lives, in which I think most of us feel deeply grateful for all kinds of things, on the one hand, and our public lives, in which we more often than not fight with each other, say mean-spirited things about a range of clashing values of public issues about the economy and about politics and other things. So we don't want to get stuck. So how do we start moving forward in a way that's healing for our own hearts and hopeful for our wider communities? These are the real questions I'm going to get to over the next weeks. How can we begin to let God's grace make us flexible and creative, freeing us from habits that aren't good for us? How can we learn to practice gratitude in a way that leads to change, to depth, to joy, to friendship, and to collaboration with other people? Well, I'll end here. Butler Bass points in her prologue in two directions, two suggestions. First, she points us to the German theologian and pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and then to the Bible. So quick note on both of these. First, from Dietrich Bonhoeffer's book, The Cost of Discipleship. If you don't know Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a pastor for the Confessing Church in Germany. The Confessing Church was the church who refused to side with Hitler. So the National State Church, out of a sense of patriotism, caved and went with Hitler and the Nazi Party. The underground Confessing Church resisted. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of their primary pastors. So this is from his book, The Cost of Discipleship. And this quotation is, again, in your bulletin. He says, "In normal life, one is not at all aware that we always receive infinitely more than we give, and that gratitude is what enriches life. One easily overestimates the importance of one's own acts and deeds compared with what we become only through other people." Wow, I think this is profound, an insight about how life works. It might even mark the threshold between a life with and without faith, a life lived on one's own, and a life organized around the gift of Jesus Christ. To understand ourselves as people loved by God is to understand ourselves as those who, quote, always receive infinitely more than we give. In other words, Bonhoeffer's arguing that on most days, most of our average days, we miss the basic truth of our lives, that we are fundamentally, that we are at bottom gift receivers. Our lives are awash in lavish and excessive gifts, both from God and from others. As Butler Bass puts it in one place, life is an abundance of shared gifts. And Bonhoeffer's quotation leads to reflection on how important the theme of thankfulness, of giving thanks, is in the Bible itself. The Bible paints a picture of a world in which everything is a gift, and the only important thing in life is to respond to all these gifts with a sense of gratitude. From James 1:17, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change." Everything is a gift. The universe is a gift. Life is a gift. Air, light, soil, and water are gifts. This is from Butler Bass. Friendship, love, sex, and family are gifts. We live on a gifted planet. Everything we need is here with us. We freely respond to these gifts by choosing a life of mutual care. That's how we live out our thankfulness. That psalm we read this morning, Psalm 104, begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." This is how you pray when you're awake and you realize that your life is awash in gifts. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then it proceeds to praise God's power and might and wisdom, giving God credit for everything in the world. Everything is a gift. Everything in all its splendor is God's beautiful and powerful handiwork. The psalmist says, "Cast your eyes here or there." All of it is a sweeping song of praise to the one who brought it into being and who reigns over everything in delight and love. And part of a life of thanksgiving is learning to see the world through this kind of praying, learning to see the world as full of God's creativity, full of God's wisdom and craftsmanship, learning to see ourselves as people surrounded by gifts. Our reading from Hebrews makes it clear to our hearts that Jesus Christ is himself God's gift to us. Jesus Christ is the high priest who represents us before God. He's a high priest forever. There is no end to his life for us. He is the gentle high priest, a patient pastor with us, not because he's a sinner like we are, but because he has shared our lives. He himself has lived a difficult human life, and he has known suffering deep in his bones. He offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears, we're told, to the one who was able to save him from death. Friends, this is good news for us because it shows us that a life of thanksgiving might still be a life of agonized prayers, passionate tears, and the fear of death. His was a life of sustained thankfulness, and then having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who live in him. So over these next several weeks, I invite you to go on a journey, on a pilgrimage, from no thanks to a more grateful life. All the major religions, not just Christianity, all the major religions and all the deeply spiritual traditions affirm together that living a life of profound gratitude is the only way that we can experience personal transformation and public transformation. And this is certainly true for those who have organized our lives around Jesus Christ. He is God's gift to us. And we are to respond with thankfulness. In everything, give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, as we head into this week, this series, I don't want us to leave here today without a plan to experiment a little bit and explore, try something new. So that's why we listed in your bulletin those 10 habits of gratitude. They're from a book by a woman named Mary Jo Leddy. But I wanted you to flip back to that page, 10 Habits of Gratitude. I want you to take a look at it. I'm going to give you just a moment here, 30 seconds. And I'm asking you, I know they're not all clear. That's on purpose. They're meant to give you some room to wiggle and figure out what it means for you. I want you to just pick one. Don't say you're going to go out here and do all 10 because you're not, right? That's unrealistic. Just land on one that makes sense to you, that you could somehow put into practice over the next several weeks, okay? I'll be quiet for a minute. If you didn't figure out your one yet, then you have homework. Let's give ourselves to something new, to a new practice of giving thanks, and see what happens to us. See what happens to our relationships, to our attitude, to our outlook, to the way we get up in the morning and move through our day. All right, with God's help, friends, we can do this.